You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily podcast on the Minnesota Timberwolves, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the Locked On Wolves fan rag website for written content as well as prior podcasts. Adam King does a lot of our writing. He was on the show. I can't remember what day it was. I am in the midst of finals, so I am all mixed up. I'm not sure what day it is today. I'm pretty sure it's Monday, but I know he's on. He's been on the podcast recently, so check that podcast out. But he does a lot of the writing for the fan rag site as well. Check out those articles. Also, you can check out articles and podcasts by me on my Twitter feed, at C Molesky, M-O-L-E-S-K-Y. It keeps you updated on the podcast, everything like that. Today, we are going to be looking back at the Timberwolves season. I know we're in the midst of the playoffs, and this week we will have a bunch of guests lined up for the various teams left in the playoffs after the first round of the NBA 2017-2018 playoffs. But first, we're going to get into a little bit of a recap of the Timberwolves season. I have 8 takeaways from the season. I know it seems like I'm narrowing it down, but these are kind of my big takeaways. The first things when I sat down in preparation for this podcast, these are the kind of things that really stuck out to me about this season. Obviously, over the off season after the draft, we're going to talk about the Timberwolves season from this year and what we're kind of looking forward to next season, what they can build off of it. But these are just kind of the big things that I took away from the Timberwolves season. Just reactions when I really sit down about kind of the big things that stuck out to me without really digging too deep into every aspect of the roster. We'll get into grading every player's performance throughout the year in the off season, but these are the big takeaways, and I got 4 takeaways, just player specific, and 4 things about the Timberwolves in general. So we're going to get to the player specific ones and then go to a break, and then we're going to do the team takeaways, the 4 team takeaways before we head out here. And again, I know the NBA playoffs are in full swing. It's the second round getting kicked off. We will have guests throughout the week talking about those teams left in the playoffs, about what's going on in the playoffs. So stay tuned for that later this week. We'll have 4 episodes of that kind of content coming up. But I did want to end with the regular season. I know it's been a few days since the Timberwolves got bumped by Houston, but I did want to give them an in-depth look, just as far as more than what we did after Game 5 with Mitchell Hanson. That was a good episode as well, so check that out. But these are my player takeaways. So first thing, Jimmy Butler is better than I anticipated. And I want to preface that by saying I thought that Jimmy Butler was probably a 20 to 25 best player in the NBA, one of the best 20 to 25 players in the NBA. I had him pretty high, and I love Jimmy Butler. I thought he was a huge piece defensively and offensively. He exceeded my expectations. He turned this roster around faster than I thought they would turn around. He did so much, especially once he kind of let the team gel in that October to November range. He really stepped in and said, all right, now you guys have had a chance to get used to this new machine. I'm going to run over or come in and really take over it. And you saw that in December, January. This is a 47-win team. I think if Jimmy Butler doesn't get injured for at the end of the year, I think he was out for a total of 19 games, 21 games, something like that. But if he's not out for games, I think this is easily a 50-win roster. And he is, I would say, one of the best 15 to 12 players in the NBA right now is where I would put him. The value of having somebody who is so controlling on the who can really take over a game on the offensive end and then lock down and shut down somebody on the defensive end, it's really hard to put a price on that value. So it'll be hard for the Timberwolves to really be able to gauge what contract to offer him without totally busting their cap. But whatever they give him, he deserves more, I would say, just because of how pivotal a piece he is and how he can transform a roster. One of the big things that I saw from Jimmy Butler when I was really digging into his stats, he jumped from 45 to 47% from last year to this year, shooting from the field. His efficiency His efficient field goal percentage went from 49.2 to 51.2. So not only did he come to a new team with more established stars, obviously the Chicago Bulls had their problems when he left, and they're in the midst of all kinds of changes. He came to a better roster who had a bunch of players who needed their shots, and not only did his efficiency go up, but his field goal percentage went up, which is obviously a direct correlation between those two. But he became a better shooter, so he didn't necessarily, he's going to take his shots, and that's okay because he's the number one player on this team, the number one option on this team on both ends of the floor. But not only did he come in and merge with an offense, and I don't think he really destroyed the production of players around him, and we'll get to that later, but he also improved his efficiency so that he didn't need to take more shots. He did a good job not only molding this roster, but molding himself so that it was more of a perfect marriage than just him trying to take over and bully and muscle his way to the top of this thing to be the best player. He really showed that he's the best player in a number of ways. His off the court work, how he prepares for a season, how he makes players around him better. And you see that again in his efficiency playing on the court, where he's not going to destroy the roster by taking a bunch of shots. He's going to get to his spots where he know he can make baskets so that he's doing the most with the shots he gets, and he can still offer plenty of shots and opportunities to the players around him. He's also a great piece because, again, his defensive presence is huge for this team. It helps, and we'll get to the defensive rating for the Timberwolves and the team aspects of how they are better this season, but he helped boost this team's defensive efficiency by a whole lot. All those things are attributed to Jimmy Butler. The second thing for takeaways specific to players, Towns came out really strong after a slow start. You saw his offensive defensive rating make huge leaps and bounds through the season. He went from a 114.1 offensive rating and 115.8 offensive rating in October. He jumped to 116.9 and 104.5 in both those categories in December, and a 120.4 and 107.9 offensive defensive rating in February. He was growing leaps and bounds. You saw it in the stats throughout the season, which I think is really important for a player as young as he is. And he averaged a double-double throughout the season, 21.3 points and 12.3 rebounds per game. This is a player who, coming in, the knock on him was he wasn't the defensive player that you hoped he would be coming out of college. And obviously he's a young guy, but you hope that he would be a better defensive player, and you hope that he would really be able to take over games offensively because you anticipate him being a multi-time all-star throughout his career. Had a slow start. You kind of saw him maligned October, November, but then really took big steps December, January, February. But you saw him grow throughout the season, and you saw not only on the defensive side, but on the offensive side, he grew too. Especially when Jimmy Butler went out, he was a guy who really took over games offensively, and that was encouraging to see his growth throughout the season. Despite somebody coming in and taking over that number one spot on the team, he was able to, it didn't notch him down a peg, but he was able to grow under Jimmy Butler. I think that was a really important piece because you saw Wiggins kind of become shaky under the new presence of Jimmy Butler. Opposite effect on Towns. Really good to see him growing, and I think he'll even be better next season, which is a scary proposition for teams who are going to have to play the Timberwolves, and for teams in the Western Conference who are going to have to try and muscle for a seed in the playoffs next year. The Timberwolves are going to be in the playoffs next year unless something catastrophic happens, knock on wood, because they have Jimmy Butler and because Towns is going to keep getting better. He has not reached his ceiling yet, but you see him making strides towards that ceiling, and that's really encouraging for a young player. Before we get to a negative, I want to point out Tyus Jones, another player I saw really grow this season. He didn't get a ton of minutes. He averaged only 17.9 minutes per game this year, but with those minutes, he shot better. He shot 45.7% from the field. He shot 87.7% from the free throw line, both of those big jumps from last season's stats, and he was the second player in the NBA in assist to turnover ratio. He had an 8 in assist to turnover ratio. He was second in the NBA only to Marco Bellinelli, and again, you can kind of knock him for how many minutes per game he played. Maybe that helps him. I think it's just because he's really safe with the basketball, and he's kind of a basketball hawk on the other end of the floor, really knows how to get in those passing lanes, and really is a great job reading and anticipating on defense. Really love what he did. I would have liked to see him play more. He did a great job stepping in for Teague when he was injured, for Jeff Teague when he was injured after that game in December against the Nuggets. I'm really impressed with Tyus Jones. I think he should get more court time, and I think that he is a really important young piece on a young roster, and he really strengthens the bench. I'm calling it right now. I see in his future a Sixth Man of the Year award. I'm not saying it's next year, but at some point I see him being a Sixth Man of the Year just because of what he offers on the defensive end and how conservative and what playmaking options he gives in offense. So I don't know if it's going to be 2 years down the road or 5 years down the road, or even if it's going to be on the Timberwolves roster, but I see him being a Sixth Man of the Year at some point in his career. The last thing, my fourth player observation, Wiggins. This is going to be the negative one, folks. Those were all positives. This is going to be the negative one. They gave Wiggins the max a year too early. I had a lot of things alluding to this take as the season wound down. I had a lot of people telling me this midway through the season. I had a lot of people wrote about this, a lot of people talked about this midway through the season when it happened at the end of the season. So this is definitely not a hot take by any means, but this is me kind of coming to terms with it. I was a Wiggins guy when he was drafted by the Timberwolves he was drafted by the Cavs, traded to the Timberwolves. But when he was coming out of college, I was a big Wiggins guy. When he came to the Timberwolves, I was a big Wiggins guy. After the first couple of years, I was still on the Wiggins boat. I justified the max over the summer because I believed that he could reach that ceiling. And then he came out with a 17.7 points per game. He shot worse at 43.8% from the field. He was 64.3% from the free throw line, 33.1% from the three-point range. All these stats are worse shooting-wise. And now, granted, he did take a dip in attempts per game, but it was only by about three attempts less per game. And you really saw him not play efficient basketball. You saw him take a lot of games off. You saw him have trouble really locking into every game, especially when they're against a lesser opponent or an opponent with a really poor record, or if it was those random Orlando Magic games on Tuesday nights, you never saw him really lock in for. There's a lot of problems with Wiggins, and I'm not sure how to fix them all to justify this max right away. I don't think you can, and it's going to be a struggle for him for the next couple of years, because unless he locks in right away and fixes a bunch of these problems, people are going to have a real big problem with the money that he's making next season. And I anticipate this being a storyline all summer and into next year, and it's a bummer because I really liked Wiggins, and he got the max too early. And so that's going to hurt him, but it also hurts him that he is just not locking into these games and not playing efficient basketball. You had him with the comments about having a problem being the third option. That's not going to go away either, because Towns is getting really good. Jimmy Butler is still going to be the number one option, obviously, on this team next year. That problem's not going to go away, which I think is going to magnify the other problems around him. So I don't know what they're going to do with Wiggins. We're going to talk about this a lot in the offseason, but right away, a lot of stats point to this being a big mistake for the Timberwolves to throw that money at him right away. I see there's reasons why they did that, and I understand those reasons, but hindsight is 20/20, and this is a bad move for the Timberwolves. We're going to get to a quick break for some sponsors before we get to the four things about the Timberwolves as a whole that I took away from this season. First, sponsors. Going through the top eight things that I took away from the season, kind of exit survey here, doing broad exit survey, just keeping it to 8 points. Did four on player specific. Now I'm doing four on the team in general. First thing, Timberwolves improved more than just their record this season. Their offensive and defensive rating took a jump. And this is impressive for a couple reasons. First, I want to share some stats. Last season, their offensive rating was 108.1, and their defensive rating was 109.1. This season, 110.8 and 108.4 on the offensive and defensive rating. Those are both improvements, pretty big improvement on the offensive rating, and a solid improvement for a not defensive-minded team on the defensive rating. This is impressive for a couple of reasons. First, the defense of pieces on the Timberwolves really took a while to get moving outside of Jimmy Butler. You saw Towns slip up on defense a lot early. Wiggins kind of took a little bit to get going at the beginning of the season. And Teague never was really going to be a defensive point guard. And then they slowly kind of molded into a better defensive team. Not a great defensive team, but a better than where they started. And so to change that defense rating even after their slow start is a plus, especially over the course of 82 games. Their offensive rating was fantastic. And keep in mind, this is a team that was dead last in three-pointers attempted and made this season. So to improve your offensive rating in an NBA that's increasingly going three-point-minded and to still be one of the most dominant offensive teams in the NBA is impressive. And that slides into my second thing that I noticed about the Wolves, or took away from the Wolves season. Eighth best offense, averaging 109.5 points per game. Again, worst three-point shooting team, and they do not have a lot of snipers on this team. And you hope that Wiggins would roll into that, become that role. Didn't really happen. You had Jamal Crawford taking a bulk of this team's three-pointers off the bench, and they still were able to be one of the most fearsome offenses in the NBA despite that handicap. I think that's an impressive mark because it shows you not only that they have a really great inside game and they have a lot of great pieces that can work together on the offensive side and really function well together on the offensive side, but they are a three-point shooter or two away from becoming maybe a top five offense, which is really exciting for next season because now you're in the off season. You can see, you can take, critique and tailor some of these things. You can maybe try and switch a few things around on the roster, and you can maybe draft a guy. And now all of a sudden you have a couple of three-point shooters, and this might actually be a top five offense because of the three-point shooting deficit and because of the opportunity to grow here in the offense. So that's an exciting prospect, and I think that they can really grow in the offense or off season because of that. So that's my second thing. My third thing, it's kind of obvious, but huge jump in the wins. This is a massive, 16 games is a huge jump for a team to make, obviously going from 47 to 31 wins on the season. Just a great job by the Timberwolves. And people who cover the sport, people like me, people who are writing about the sport, I think it's easy to see the influx of talent and to expect a lot right away. But you have to realize when none of these players have played together and you've got to get the system in, you've got to get all these players on the same page, you've got to get them all really gelled together, all coordinated so that you're able to play a fast-paced game like the NBA is. And actually do it with the efficiency to win basketball games. It's hard. That's a tough task, even with talent like Butler, with talent like Towns, when you're bringing in veterans like Teague, like Jeff Teague, like Jamal Crawford. It's a tough task. And so to be able to do that and to be able to really look at the season as a whole and really say that, obviously, this team had their problems, but the areas where they really struggled in the beginning of the season was really only as far as October and mid-November, and you have that roughly just over a month stretch where they really, you could see a real struggle for this team and a real gelling process, and to be able to take off from there and have a 47-win season, that's impressive. That's impressive for a team to do that. That's impressive for a team to turn around and really start rebuilding and building off of that rebuild well. That fast is pretty impressive, and you're working with a lot of young guys. You're working with a relatively new system for them. Tibbs has only been a coach for a couple of years, so you're still getting that system down, and now you're adding a bunch of new talent. It's impressive, and it's impressive that they were able to have a great December like they were to really jump into that spot. It's impressive to handle the injuries that they did. This team had a lot of injuries. If you really look at Teague out for a month, you had Butler out a couple times. Those are two key players in the starting lineup. And to have those guys out, it was impressive to still pull off the 47 wins in the 16-game turnaround on the season. So, again, like I said with Mitchell, it seems like this was a year where you do as good as you can, and then in the offseason you take a step back and say, okay, really now this was just a big test year. I hate to numb down a season to that, but this was a real big project to see what we have on the roster, and now we can move forward from here and keep building and keep moving upward and onward. And considering that, I think that they did a really good job. I think that 47 wins is very impressive. The last thing, everybody knows I'm going to say this, but they made the playoffs, people. It was 13 seasons. It was since 2004, but Minneapolis finally got a couple playoff games. They got to be a part of the postseason action. I know it was a bit of a gentleman's sweep with the 4-1 loss to Houston in the first round, but after slipping to the 8th seed and all the injuries and all the controversy around stuff like Wiggins, the way Towns started out, to have this team make the playoffs and to be able to break that huge playoff drought and not be there with teams like the Mariners and the Cleveland Browns in playoff drought stricken teams. It was a huge thing. I was really happy that the Timberwolves were able to make it, and I think that you only move up from here. I really think that this team has a great deal of pieces that they can build on, and they have the right body, and now they just need a few more things. They need to make a few more adjustments and changes, and this roster can be really, truly deadly, and they can potentially be a top four team in the Western Conference for the next couple of years here. I think that this was a great building year. I think when you really step back and look at it and you don't let the way they lost the Rockets kind of bitter the taste of the season in your mouth, I think that this has been a really great year, and it's been a really productive year, and it was a great season for the Timberwolves, and I'm excited for what's next. I'm excited for what's to come. That's all I got for you guys. That was kind of my exit survey for the Timberwolves. Again, as the offseason progresses, after the draft, we'll have more stuff on the season. We'll be doing player grades for each one of the players, how they did throughout the season, all that good stuff. Looking forward to next year, how the draft pieces fit into the system, everything like that in the offseason. But I did want to do something where I step back and really looked at the Timberwolves season before we jump back in to playoff basketball. And also remember that throughout the rest of the week, we'll have guests on talking about the teams left in the playoffs and what to expect from the playoffs, reactions from what's actually going on in the playoffs, all that good stuff throughout the rest of the week. Thanks for tuning into the episode and listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On